College Football Talk every Tuesday with Brent Beard, Heisman voter, and on Twitter X at Brent Beard. SEC, ACC, AAC. We talk it all with Brent. Here's Brent Beard with Bryant and Brett.
Brent Beard joins us now from First Coast News in Jacksonville. He joins us every single week to talk some college football. He joins us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line where all of our guests join us. Brent, thanks so much for joining us. Plenty to get into today when it comes to college football, but I got to start off with the news that came in last week that Kirby Smart has gotten a big-time extension from Georgia. What'd you make of that news? Obviously, certainly worth it with what he has done at Georgia, but the first $13 million coach in college football. What'd you make of that news last week?
Well, look, and there are a lot of people think he's probably worth 20 for what he's done for them. I would say he and when Nick Saban was coaching, they were frankly underpaid, even though a lot of people would probably argue about that, but see the thing that we need to base coaches on is not just wins and losses, but what do they do to revitalize their town? I mean, I've talked to Alabama beat writers that said that Saban basically revitalized Tuscaloosa, almost doubled the attendance for the students. And look, not everybody comes there because of the football team, but
well, they should.
A lot of them do, and I think the same thing goes on in Athens. And look, the day's coming where we'll have the first $20 million coach, which is amazing to say. But I think that, Brian, I think that's just the market. Mm-hmm. That's just what you get when you've had success. Although that, I mean, they got in the championship game. That's as much as you can control. And after that, but not a real surprise. But the money is staggering, isn't it?
It is, Brent. And I can remember when Alabama got Nick Saban to leave the Dolphins and become their coach. He signed a seven or eight year deal for $4 million a year. And people thought that was scandalous. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Then. It's a lot of money now. $32 million or whatever it is, 28, 32, whatever it is always a lot of money. 13 is, but it's the going rate. It's the market rate, as you said, and they contribute so much more than just on Saturdays during football season. You get down to property value around town in Tuscaloosa County, for Kirby, around Clark County. Winning is really good for business, and we know the tangible, real world, you can feel it, touch it effect in football season, but there's so much more. Convention and Visitors Bureau people like to call it the multiplier effect of a big event coming to town. These little SEC haunts, Fayetteville, Tuscaloosa, Starkville, Athens, Knoxville, Auburn, they host, okay, maybe not every single home game is like this, but at least three or four are little Super Bowls for those towns every year. And if you're winning, it's big money. I don't mind at all. I hear some. I'll say who I heard. Yesterday I heard Chris Lowe, who we all like a lot. Mm-hmm. He was on with Paul Feinbaum talking about this subject. I didn't know Bryant was going to start there with you. And Chris Lowe was talking about it. And he finished with it. He said everything we had just said, and then he said that's an obscene amount. I don't think it's obscene.
No, I don't either. No, I agree with that. I still say for what these guys do for their universities and bringing the look, there's no way in the world that for say Georgia and Alabama over the last few years you could not put a price on the amount of publicity that winning gives to these schools, and it's well worth paying the head guy the amount of money, but because when you bring in that, it pays off in many ways.
I would dare say, instead of obscene, I would go the other extreme, and this is extreme. I would say that Nick Saban in his tenure at Alabama, and that Kirby Smart so far in his very successful tenure in Athens, they've been stolen from.
Yeah.
They deserve more.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I think that's very true. Now look, I'm sure there are a lot of things they don't pay for in their hometown, but I mean
they should never carry their wallet.
Right. Yes. Exactly. And they put
not even for their driver's license.
That's right. And they put these towns. And Brent is right, Brian. I mean, Gainesville is an hour away from where I live here. And frankly, with that University of Alabama, University of Florida there, people would not, I'm not saying they wouldn't know what Gainesville is or was, but the publicity that brings to the town is just, there's no way you can pay for it.
What's the place in the SEC that you go to now, and I'm not talking about comparing, you know, back to the 70s, even to 95, 98, around the new century, of the 21st century, that you can't believe it's boom like that?
Well, I mean, you would think this wouldn't matter, but, I mean, I've had Bama beat writers to tell me that it's a brand new town, is how they put it. I mean, I'm not there, but except on a few football games during the year. But I've certainly heard that. I mean, I've got family that have lived around Athens, and they'll tell you the same thing. That it just brings on a different vibe. It just brings on
every one of them. Maybe except for Nashville, because it's not as dependent on Vanderbilt for the town's image or whatever. One for me that stands out, and it was a couple of things that factored into it. Their success, led by Nick Saban, and post-Katrina, with a lot of people moving there, Baton Rouge. Now, Tiger Stadium always felt and looked unreal and was, but the campus and the town itself doesn't compare to the first time I went to Baton Rouge around 1993 or 94.
Oh, I bet. Well, I'll throw Missouri in there. They're kind of new.
I've only been once, and I don't have a good gauge for it.
Yeah, well, I'm just this is more just playing out the theory we're talking about here. I bet people in Missouri can tell the difference. I don't know if I'm not saying Missouri's going to win the SEC anytime soon, but I mean they played some decent football, and that continues. And look, could you say Lexington? I've said many times
it was close for me to say Lexington instead of Baton Rouge, but I hadn't been there as much. And people that do this are doing themselves a horrible disservice. If you stereotype Kentucky football, not downtown Lexington with Rupp Arena and not on campus with all the amenities for the basketball, if you stereotype Kentucky as kind of some middling, barely getting by program, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. That stadium is great. That press box is great. Their indoor all their toys and bells and whistles are right up there, second to none.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've said for years, if Stoops keeps winning the way he is, and look, is it spectacular? No. But it's consistent. Rich Brooks did this a little bit when he was there. That may be a statue, frankly, when he retires after a few years, Mark Stoops has still done a fabulous job in Lexington.
I just love that he outlasted Cal.
Well,
I bet he does, too.
I know
I'm
he
sure
does.
He does.
Yeah, that's great. Talking to Brent Beard from First Coast News in Jacksonville. He joins us every single Tuesday to talk some college football. We were talking last week, I guess, definitely late last week, Brent, about the SEC and now with the expanded playoffs. I was reading earlier today, I think it was The Athletic did a kind of post spring practice top 25, and they had 9 teams from the SEC in their preseason top 25. Later this summer, when we're talking SEC media days, when those coaches are taking the podium down in Dallas, how many of those teams are talking realistically about college football playoffs this season? How much of those radio stations, beat writers, are having those same conversations saying this is a legitimate go-for-it year for us?
Yeah. We've had those similar talks, too. Frankly, I mean, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, that it's still not easy for that to roll off the tongue at this point. Missouri, Ole Miss, I think that's a pretty good nucleus out of those teams, and I'll leave some out, but that either all of them or some of them certainly are going to be in the race from beginning to the end.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Now, what'd you just list off, 5 teams as a nucleus? I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. And will that correspond to 5 into the playoffs?
Probably not, but I think we could probably say, and this is why this expanded playoff is going to have the excitement that it will. Man alive, if you've got 5 SEC teams that are going down the racetrack kind of nose-to-nose, knowing that, and they've still got a chance to be in this thing by, what, mid-November or so, the excitement that creates in the conference is maybe unparalleled.
Brent, we're going to be off on such – well, it's going to be great for Sports Talk Radio because it's going to be the ultimate speculation with no definitive answers, and you can just let it rip any direction you want to go in. And so we're going to do that. One of the fun exercises, never mind the particular teams, never mind trying to guess the 14, the 1 through 4, that's all got to be the highest rated conference champions. Then the 5 through 12 with 5 through 8 hosting that first weekend. Never mind the individual names, just trying to get the ratio right of 4 SEC, 3 Big Ten, 2 ACC, definitely 1 non-power 5, and I'm fine by that. Just that number, we're gonna make fools out of ourselves missing so badly on that.
Well, we will, but it's going to be a lot of fun in order to do it.
And hopefully nobody will remember.
Yeah, really. I hope that, if this comes anywhere close to creating the excitement we think it will, it's really going to be. I was thinking about this on the way home. I'm sure excited about that 12-team playoff. Instead of upholding the integrity of the Pooloon Weed Eater Bowl, as we have for many years.
Yeah, well, we sure can't let the Belt Bowl get damaged, can we?
No.
and I'm with you. And we pushed for this, and we advocated, and there's still a way to incorporate even more bowls in it going forward if we go to 14 or 16.
Yeah.
I do want to keep the games on campus, but when we go to 14 or 16, I don't want many more games on campus because I think we're going to have some really rotten weather at a lot of those games. And the Big Ten and the colder weather places are looking forward to that. They can't wait until we go up there and have to play in 6 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understand that. And that will, man alive, the environment that you've got, the excitement over that is going to be incredible, too. And by the way, we're about 3 weeks from today before the first or less for the first preseason magazine comes out. I love those things, but I would hate to be writing for them with this.
How many different kind of editions do you have ready to go? Because it could change.
That's the point. And that is a great point.
One
really
big opt out, one big I'm not back.
Yeah. You've got the portal closed basically a week ago. We're still dealing with this stuff now. And frankly, if you had to get it out by, let's just say today's the 7th, if you've got to get it out by the 24th, your deadline may have been either this weekend or maybe like tomorrow.
And that, that's just for your team-by-team profile. Even that big, broad, this year in college football overview, long-form piece, I don't know how you let that fly today.
It'd be tough.
And not look foolish when it goes to print and, hey, that quarterback's not even there anymore.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I will give Phil Steele some credit, and you've probably seen this like I have. How many guys can tweet out, just spend an hour with Coach so-and-so going over his roster, I sure appreciate that. Oh, yeah. So,
well, when we sleep, he's working, though.
Listen, I don't know. I frankly don't know if he and that staff over say, the next 3 weeks, my stars, they may not get 24 hours sleep combined.
Yeah, but his magazine and his information, it is so very good. But now where I am being mostly blind, I can't see it real well.
Oh, it's so small.
It's so small, and it's written in his own jargon, code, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and it's so detailed. My ADD kicks in, and I can't take it.
No, and look, I've got a magnifying glass, and I've got basically trifocals.
I've got trifocals on right now and can't see anything.
Yeah, and I can't see it either. I applaud him for doing it. It's going to be $20, but Lindy's and Athlon is much easier to keep
up. I used to buy a bowl ticket for less than I buy Phil Steele's magazine.
Really? Really?
That's incredible. Well, Brent, you mentioned the transfer portal, the spring portal, obviously closed. Still, guys that are in it can commit, all of that, but nobody can enter it yet. What teams out of the SEC or the ACC were kind of hurt the most by the spring transfer portal, and which teams have gotten good pickups since that transfer portal opened?
Well, I'll say and I know a lot of folks up there don't keep up with Miami, but Miami has just done great things in the portal, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've certainly had more
activity. Don't hear that a lot about them, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting a while for you to be back.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, now I don't believe it until I see it, but they got Michigan State, Simeon Barrow, Kim Ward is going to be good, what we think, for them. Florida State has not gotten as many as they have, but, I mean, that's a good question, and I don't know if we'll know that for a bit. At this point, I mean, obviously Ole Miss has done great in the portal, to say the least. Now I want to say this
working it.
Oh yeah, no doubt. But I do want to say this before we go. And obviously, a lot, you know, a lot has been made down here of the death of Hootie Ingram, the former AD at Florida State and also at Alabama.
Coach at Clemson.
And listen, people forgot that,
sure,
Brett.
Do. They do.
I did a show today, mentioned that, and the host said, gosh, I completely forgot about that.
And part of the kind of the Alabama-Clemson symmetry through the years, whether it was Danny Ford or Dabo Swinney, you know, guys that played at Bama, coach at Clemson.
Let me tell you the irony, and Bryant learned from Brent and me with stuff like this, because if you stay in this business long enough, everything kind of intersects. Mm-hmm. At some point, and I'll be brief about this.
Heck, Frank Howard played
Bama. Yes.
And Coach Howard's Rock.
And there were times, and I talked to a friend yesterday who was friends with Hootie, and he told me that we talked about Florida State having the opportunity of either going to the SEC or the ACC and choosing the ACC. It paid off for them in the immediate, but it didn't pay off for them, I don't think, in the long term. They thought they were going to be big-time basketball, too, and that really they had some success, but nothing like they wanted. But I know the three of us can appreciate the incredible irony of FSU going to the ACC and basically the same week that Hootie Ingram dies – they are doing doing everything they can to get out of the ACC.
Spending a fortune on legal bills.
Listen, there are some attorneys
he AD when they turned down the SEC?
He was, no, but he was, now that, as you know, that process has happened overnight. And
yeah, it really started 89 or 90.
Yes, basically, yes. So
for play in 92.
Yeah, and my friend told me that was about 60% Coach Bowden and about 40% Hootie Ingram.
Well, Coach Bowden wins.
He did. And Coach Bowden said later that it was successful for them, but I just wanted to mention him. Mm-hmm. Look, if we'd had social media back then, he'd have been a lot more of a star than he was, but you can't coach a football team, be a star football player at Alabama and AD at Alabama and Florida State without having something on the ball.
Yeah, and he was another one of those guys late 60s into the 70s that I'm sure he may not advertise it, but he privately dreamed. You know, I win at Clemson, I stay here a while, and I succeed, Coach Bryant.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know,
wasn't Jimmy Red Parker his offensive coordinator at Clemson? Remember him? Real colorful college football figure.
Yeah. And listen, Brett, do you remember?
Or was he his successor? He was there with him.
Oh yeah, Hootie was like help me on this. Hootie was like associate something with the SEC for a while.
With the guy that left to go to Turner TV with wrestling. What was that guy? Harvey Schiller, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He left to go be a wrestler.
That's amazing. Wow. But so, listen, his experience was just incredible.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Brent, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Great stuff.
Enjoy your week. We'll do it again next week.
Let me say this real quick. Happy Mother's Day.
For sure.
Sunday. And Brett,
if you got one, enjoy it. If you don't, remember it.
How often does she still come to mind?
Every day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Especially Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and listen, Bryant, take Brett my word for it. Google that Bear Bryant Bell South commercial about calling your mother.
Yeah.
That's still one of the most gripping emotional things that I remember about Mother's Day.
I definitely will look it up.
Enjoy Sunday, Brent.
Thanks, Brent.
You too, guys. Take care.
Thank you, man. Brent Beard with us every week talking college football. And I Googled Jimmy Red Parker. He was Hootie Ingram's successor at Clemson, but I think they hired him off the staff that he was there with him. He was old Fordyce boy, but back to and new Coach Bryant, and
how
he got his start. I explained this wrong last week,
okay,
and I got to clarify something. So this year with the playoffs,
uh-huh,
the 1-4
uh-huh
will be the 4 highest ranked conference champions.
Right.
The Tigers could. I don't want to mislead anybody, but they could be 4th or 3rd. I think 1 or 2 will be Big Ten SEC.
Sure.
SEC Big Ten. Here's the scenario, and I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up, but this could happen this year. Let's say Tigers pull the upset at FSU.
Mm-hmm.
They go undefeated, 12-0.
Yeah.
They win the AAC championship game.
Okay.
They are 13-0.
Uh-huh.
The next morning, that poll comes out of where they're ranked,
uh-huh,
and that will be directly tied to where you're seated. At the same time, the champion of the Big 12, that could be any number of teams, that their 9-3 regular season with a ugly non-conference loss and 2 conference losses, but they go 9-3, they win the Big 12 championship game, they're 10-3, Memphis would be ahead of them.
Wow.
So that means that team would be the 12, and Memphis could be the 4 or the 3. Conceptually, even 2 or 1, but I'm not
sure.
I'm not even close to trying to sell that.
Huh. Interesting.
Because it is for the 4 highest ranked conference champions.
Huh.
Not Power Five,
sure,
not Power.
Right. Interesting. I've not.
So that could be Memphis.
I guess it could.
Could.
Sure, sure. I mean, long shot, but could.
But let that conference.
It's a possibility.
From the ACC.
Yeah.
Are the Big 12. It could happen to the SEC. It could.
Sure, it could.
But I don't think they would be ahead of them just because of the.
Unlikely, yes.
Well, the privilege.
Yes, the privilege. I mean,
it just is.
It is. But I didn't even think about that. But you're right. It could happen. I mean, if they, it would start with certainly beating Florida State. But if they go undefeated, they have got a win over Florida State.
That would be big.
And they're sitting there around 10 or 11, and then mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. ACC or Big 12 conference champion is
maybe not even that. Might be seven or eight.
Sure, yeah. And if those teams are lower, you're absolutely right. One of those teams are lower, they would be in that top four.
So that wouldn't even be playing that next weekend in the the games on campus.
Wow.
That's far-fetched.
Sure.
It's not way out there.
No. It's
pretty far out there.
Yeah, like Johnny said, it's a possibility.
Need a good telescope.
Sure. But you can see it with the telescope. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that. But you're absolutely right. It's going to be fun. I mean, even just talking about—
And that's my scenario for the Big 12. Oklahoma State loses at home mm-hmm. to Arkansas week two.
Okay.
Lose two Big 12 games.
Sure.
But you win it at whatever and two. Mm-hmm. They win the tiebreakers. They win the conference championship game. They're 10-3, but that shouldn't top mm-hmm. anybody that's got a zero beside it.
That's true, but
shouldn't,
but it certainly could, I guess. But that's interesting. I mean, but even just talking about all of the SEC teams that are going to have the possibility and the hope of making it this year. I mean, there's a lot of teams
out
there.
But only one can be in that top four.
You're right.
Just that conference champion.
Yeah. But just, I mean, talking about all of...
So if you had an SEC championship game of Georgia and Texas.
Right.
The winner is the one or two at worst, probably.
Right.
The other one's probably the five or six at worst seed. Mm-hmm. But they play that first weekend.
Sure.
Play and host.
Yeah. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, like I said, just thinking of all of these teams that in the SEC they're going to have hopes. You know, there's going to be a handful in each power conference that has those hopes of being in the college football playoffs. It's going
to
make this summer fun and then the season fun.
Except for the legitimate
mm-hmm.
complaining about maybe not enough of the little guy.
Right.
I said legitimate. I mean that.
Sure.
What do you see that the people that can always find something wrong with college football, what do you think they'll glom on to? Except for that, for the champion of the little guy. And I'm not knocking that. And I'm glad there's a spot. But what do you it's going to be easy.
What is it?
Too much SEC.
But I mean.
Hey, that's a great point because you do hear, oh, man, the SEC in it again and different comments like that.
I guess those are just the people that find something. I got to find something wrong with it.
In too much Big Ten.
Sure. I mean, there's the two best conferences.
If you had this ratio out of 12, you had 4-4.
Uh-huh.
That's 8 out of 12.
Yeah.
You got the non-power five, uh-huh. let's say Memphis.
That's 9.
That's 9. It leaves 3. We got to have champion of the ACC.
And of the Big 12.
That leaves one more.
Oh, jeez.
Notre Dame saying, hey, what about us?
How about us?
Yeah.
Wow, you're right. That would be
they're really trying to please everybody, but at the end of the day, everybody won't
impossible.
Be pleased.
It is.
Everybody
won't be pleased. And then here comes the complaining instead of just enjoying it.
You
got
to
enjoy
right.
what it is.
We complain collectively forever mm-hmm. of play it out on the field. Now we're going to play it out on the field, and a lot of people are still going to be
unhappy with it. No, you're right. But let's
almost
go ahead.
Said to be word.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. Let's get to a break. When we come back, it was a fun night of baseball last night. A good slate of games as well tonight. So we're talking baseball next on Sports Time.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app. Or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brent Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time, and plenty of baseball to talk about. I mentioned it earlier. We had one game going on. It was all Rangers, and they had no issues like they did yesterday. Now up 15-2 in the bottom of the sixth. So
who has the 15-run pool?
Man, certainly not me.
Rarely pays out.
Very rarely. And then I guess over the weekend you were looking for someone that had the
old 20-runner.
The 20-run pool with Oakland. So, yeah, so that game.
Please tell me you had the over Rangers ace.
I did not play this game.
Even more, please tell me you didn't have the under.
I did not. Certainly did not have the under. Did not have anything in this game.
10 spot in the second will do it, won't it?
It sure will. And then add on another 4 runs in the in the fourth inning. I mean, that's brutal.
18 hits. 1 in the first, 10 in the second.
Crazy.
4 in the fourth.
It's crazy.
You should win with that.
Yeah, that'll get her done. I remember when I played baseball growing up, I had a coach that we got into a real bad slump. We weren't a very good team to begin with, but we got into a real bad slump where we weren't scoring runs. And he said, you know, or we'd score like 1 run. He said, you can never win a game just scoring 1 run. Very hard to win a game by just scoring 1 run. And so he like started bribing us to like try to get us to score more runs. And
what were the bribes?
Pizza. He would like That's say, a good bribe. Like, hey, if you score, I forgot what it was. It was like, if you
11,
score,
12 years old.
Yeah, like 12 or 13. And
I think food's a great bribe.
It's great. It's great.
Well, yeah, it really is.
He was like, I forgot what it was. It was like 8 or 9 runs in a game. If we scored that many runs in the game, he was like, I'll order pizza for us at our next practice, and we'll practice for like 1.5 hours, and then we'll just eat pizza the rest of the time. We were like, cool. And I tell you what, we scored 9
on the
runs
hitting shoes,
a lot.
Huh?
I mean, yeah, it just completely flipped. So you're absolutely right. You score 15 runs, not many times you're going to lose a baseball
game. I had a coach that anytime the other team scored their first run, the standard dugout line from him, hey, guys, get your chin up. It takes 1 to win 1.
Exactly. Oh, classic. Classic.
One does nothing. You have to get that to win.
Got to score a run. We're not gonna win a game if we can't score a run. Yes, I've heard that many times from that same baseball
Little League
coach.
Was anything better than going to get the victorious milkshake?
Oh, man. Oh, great. I mean, that the ballpark that we used to always play in for tournaments down in South Haven.
Snow and Grove.
Dairy Queen right next to it. I mean, go right there after that, get some ice cream after the game. Perfect.
That's Lollapalooza of weekend baseball down there.
Oh, absolutely.
I had a nephew that played travel baseball on a pretty good little team. They were down there, and I went down there, and it
– Oh, man.
Busier than that beehive in Arizona last week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot going on down there, and they've certainly – I was driving by there last weekend, and they've certainly taken advantage of it for sure, getting a lot of restaurants and spots down there. But I really like the slate of games we have tonight. Now, one thing I don't like about it – and I found this interesting, and I've talked about it a lot today to various peoples. So we've got one game right now, start at 2:30. Then we have 11 games that start between 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m.
Central time.
Central time.
All those East Coast time, I promise you, I have it in my notes that I love it.
Really?
For this reason. Get those East Coast games started our time in that 5 to 6:30 window. Brian, we used to first pitch in St. Louis a lot of times would be 8 o'clock.
Wow. Holy cow.
And East Coast would do – now, East Coast had a rule, too, that a new inning could not start after midnight.
Interesting.
A lot of times on East Coast.
Interesting.
And especially during the energy crisis days.
Sure.
When they were – you know, it was all bogus when we were conserving energy.
Sure.
But – I want everything to start a smidge earlier. In individual teams, you control the time.
Right.
You can start at any time.
Right.
If the Orioles wanted their standard starting time to be 6 Eastern, 5 Central, they can.
Yeah.
And with not – I know not everybody has the ability to work from home or not have, say, kind of the old time we think of jobs of – you know, punching a time clock leaving at night. I know some still do. A lot still do.
Sure.
I respect that. I'm not knocking anything here, but we're not as hindered, married to that as at one time. And used to, we can't start too early because people aren't home from work yet.
Sure, yeah.
We got to give them time to get home, get cleaned up, and get to the ballpark.
Yeah.
I know there's still some to a lot, but not as much.
Right, Right. Yeah. So a little different. But man, I kind of like the whole where I can kind of stagger my night of, okay, got the East Coast games and kind of Central Time Zone games starting now. And then here comes, you know, 7:30, another game. I think the Rangers like to do a 7:30 first pitch. And then you've got the West Coast team starting at about, you know, anywhere between 8:30 to about 9 o'clock or so. And, you know, I can watch the East Coast games, and I've got a whole nother slate of games starting at a little bit later that I can watch.
Here's a good example of you can start anytime you
sure.
want. The Zany Rays and getting over the bridge. Starting at 50 minutes after that.
Love that.
6:50 Eastern, 5:50 Central.
Love that. And then you got the Braves, who every home game they have is 20 minutes after the hour.
It is.
Every
sure
single
is.
Time. So, yeah, so it's anyone. And I remember, what was it, you know, a couple weeks ago on Jackie Robinson Day where the Mariners went out there
at
and
42.
Said, we're starting at 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. So, yeah, they can play around with it. And but, man, 6:50 Eastern start, that's it's an odd start time.
Make it 6:30.
Yeah, I don't know why. Or at least, like, I understand, like, some people do the like, 40 and, like, you know, but that's, like, mm-hmm. 30, but we're going to start 10 minutes after.
And this is kind of new for the Cardinals. While school's still going on
sure.
to be at 6:45.
Yeah, yeah, that is different. And
now, Friday night still kind of good, mm-hmm. but it used to be much later than that.
Really?
I mean, hurry up and get started.
Wow. Yeah, I like them to kind of get started right when, right around when we're done here, and I can get done, immediately throw on the Cardinals, and, you know, that's kind of how my night goes. But some good matchups, I think, tonight. Obviously, curious to see what the Cardinals do. That's more of a fan perspective. But some good series late night. Mariners, Twins. Twins got that win last night. Curious to see what happens in that game tonight. Brewers, Royals was a fun game last night. Will probably be another fun game tonight with two really good pitchers going. Padres,
used to be
Cubs.
An American League game.
That's right. That's right. But not anymore. So some really, really fun matchups, I think, tonight. Hopefully we won't see a ton of 15-4 ball games like we're seeing right now in Oakland, as the A's just tacked on two runs to make it 15-4. How about that?
We were talking about this earlier. You were busy. I was talking – I lamented about it on there.
Uh-huh.
I want to, and I think I do, like Chip Carey.
Okay, yeah.
And I want to. I hear sure. he's a great guy. But he's drawn two tough years
yeah.
because every – you are in it. We did talk about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Because he's the guy now that I associate with being the announcer
sure.
of a year and into a second year of the worst Cardinal chapter ever.
Yeah.
And it's going to really take a slide this year. Because don't you have to start thinking now about dealing Arenado and Goldschmidt and seeing – and you got to get – a lot for them. You can't give them away, but you've got to deal them.
I think you have to, because I think, or at least think about it. Not saying you have to do it, but I think
well,
you
I
have
think
to at least
do.
Do it.
They're not
or,
any
yeah, think
contention.
About it. Because, I mean, well, you just saw the Marlins last year in contention. You know, there was a lot of playoff talk. It felt like they were going in the right direction. This year has been complete opposite. And Arias, they, mm-hmm. they've already dealt him to San Diego. So I think you got to at least look at it. I know people are going to hate hearing that, but I think you at least got to listen to offers and see what's out there.
Does it get bad enough at deadline time and you're really way out, you've already dealt Arenado and Goldschmidt, that you consider Sonny Gray?
Oh, man. It could.
It could.
Because I think going into this year, I think the idea, especially from the front office, which we can talk about changes on the field. I think we need to talk about changes in the front office. Mm-hmm. But
the big broom.
Yes. I think the ideas from them were, okay, bad season, but we like the pieces we have. We're going to add some pieces. And this year, we're going to be back contending. Well, that's clearly not the idea anymore. It can't be. And so I think you have to start making moves of this is going to be a long-term kind of rebuild.
This is conversation I've never been a part of since being on these airwaves.
Mm-mm.
I'm not saying the Cardinals were good every single
sure.
year, but okay, you're good enough that you have that dip the next year. You don't freak. Mm-hmm. It's freak time.
Yeah.
It's been that way. And even the late 70s, not great manager. The brewery really didn't want to spend because at that time in free agency, they didn't want to make other teams mad because of the beer war of Miller and Budweiser in the 70s. And they didn't want to make, you know, Philadelphia mad going after Mike Schmidt in free agency or Pete Rose. Pete Rose was a great example of it. The Cardinals really never got in the bidding for Pete Rose because they wanted those ballparks selling Budweiser and didn't want to make them mad and kind of took a powder on player personnel and had a good young core in Keith Hernandez and Gary Templeton and a couple others.
Interesting.
Bob Forrest, good pitcher.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you got to at least think about some moves.
And I don't know that they don't have that core.
They don't. They're what core?
I think Mason Wynn's good,
but certainly still.
But he's not to even where on the field Gary Templeton was then.
Right. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, but I'm kind of with you. I think you got to start thinking about that and kind of looking at what some offers are out there for those big-time guys. And, yeah, I think Sonny Gray's probably in that mix as well, even though you just
listen.
Got him. You got to listen and try
Cardinals
to
had Ted
out.
Simmons at that time with the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. It's going to get ugly, I think. It's going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately. But let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brent Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
I could go with a couple different big numbers today, but we'll go with the number 20. Why not? This one is a basketball big number. It has to do with the New York Knicks. In the New York Knicks Game 1 victory over Indiana, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Dante DiVincenzo became the first teammates who attended the same college to each score 20-plus points in an NBA playoff game. I mean, I know...
Makes it even better for the Knicks. They got them from Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely. And I know there's been so much made of about this Villanova trio, but it really is incredible what they're doing.
Were they together at Villanova?
DiVincenzo
Brunson was ahead of...
were there together.
Were they? Okay.
Because I believe they were teammates. Or I think they roomed together. They lived together.
If I'm not
national
mistaken.
National champions.
Mm-hmm. So I think they were together. I don't think Josh Hart
did they all play with...
That was Jay Wright's second championship, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think so. Did they all play with Mikal Bridges? Because Mikal went there as well. And Mikal won a chip. So I don't know if they...
was a little before that. I was at that Final Four that they won.
Were you really?
In San Antonio.
Wow, how about that? I'm looking it up.
That DiVincenzo was MOP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Arcidiacono was MOP of the first one for Jay Wright.
Yeah, he was the one for the first one.
Brunson.
And Ed Pinckney in 85, MOP.
Brunson was there from 2015 to 2018. Josh Hart was there at the same time. He was there from 2013 to 2017. And then
they won in 18 in San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
And then DiVincenzo was there from 15 to 18. So, yeah, all three of them played together. Well, yeah, all three of them played together.
Yeah, crossed over.
How about that? Yeah. So, Josh Hart, the only one with one national championship.
And they booed him lustily in Philly.
Sure did.
Loved him at one time.
Sure did. But
Palestra days are over.
Different stakes when you're playing for the Knicks.
It is. My big number is 84. That's the number of career games played in the postseason for Mike Conley. His first, that Sunday afternoon win in San Antonio with the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah.
That started that 8-1 run that year. He's 43-41 all time in playoff games and has started every one.
That's crazy. That's incredible. I mean, just what he's doing is just so much fun to watch.
We will really embrace that Mike Conley angle next round on.
Sure.
And I hope enjoy it. But it a little bit bittersweet because we wanted that here. We want one before them. But
I do think everyone will embrace it because Mike Conley was just beloved. So good to the city.
If
he was
nothing
beloved.
Else, the broken face game.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I think people will rally around him and that, hope that
that
he
night
wins
at
it.
The arena playoff game, place just stoked, mm-hmm. and he just looked terrible. I mean, it would scare people.
Yeah.
How he looked, and they were being very careful with him. For how tender and sore mm-hmm. you could be, and so they bring him into the arena and put him in that box that the team kind of controls in that corner behind mm-hmm. the bench
yeah.
that of the lower level boxes. And Rob and crowd already hype. Mm-hmm. And Rob texted me, said roof's getting ready to go. And they showed a picture of him in that box, and he's like waving a towel.
That's awesome.
Place went crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That was a fun time.
It was.
Probably not for him because his face was probably hurting very much, but
a broken face.
Yeah, it's not fun. No, it's not fun at all.
And that contract, and that's when, and I asked it unknowing. I didn't know it, and caught eight kinds of it on our good friends on the text line.
Sure.
That's when I proposed, send him out there in a football helmet to protect him. And you can't.
Right.
That's too. There are certain guidelines for
sure,
it.
Sure. But yes, the mask game and, oh, man, that was a
send
fun
send him
line.
Out in a Tiger football yes. helmet with the 901
oh,
logo
it.
On the
I
side.
Love it. I love it.
But oh,
you,
man.
You can't because that would be used as a weapon sure. against the other. I mean, he oh, could yeah. harm someone oh, else on that.
Absolutely. Send him out in a hockey helmet.
Yeah.
A little smaller.
But that contraption he had on.
Oh, man.
To try to play in.
Oh, man.
And he took a shot right. Ooh.
He did.
Ooh.
He sure did.
Is the face mask that Mike Conley had, wasn't it similar to what Rip Hamilton used to wear? Is it something
and
similar?
Hamilton would wear it even after the years of being
yeah.
injured.
Yeah.
It was standard operating for
uh-huh.
him after,
yeah.
after that.
Mike Conley, not the same. He said, when I'm done with it, I'm getting rid of it.
That's very impressive, though. That series, he became my favorite Grizzly.
I think became it for a lot of people. I think a lot of people.
Didn't knock me off Z-Bo. All-time
well,
favorite
player.
Hey, man.
You know, when you talk about those four, I mean, it's hard
man,
to
Man, it's hard to
one.
Pick, but when he did that for that series, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is my guy.
It is hard to pick one. So it's fun. I do hope he continues to have the success and, maybe finds a way to continue to win games and who knows, maybe even get to a ring as bittersweet as that may be. Well, we need to go ahead and wrap up this hour, get to a break. When we come back, we're talking NFL with Beau Marchant.